Hi, I'm Gabriel Carrillo from the EdTech Bytes podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
One oh crap wipes out 1,000 attaboys. You have to give the 1,000 attaboys. Positive reinforcement is something that they'll go towards. The negative reinforcement is something they'll run away from.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, and welcome to episode 115 of the podcast. I'm really excited to bring this episode to you. My guest in this episode, John Davis, is not your traditional educator, but has classroom experience, especially in higher education. John's education experience really comes from the fact that he trains students who are looking to become actors and stunt people in how to physically act. And what I loved about the conversation that I have with John are the parallels that we draw between the work that he does with his students who are learning to be actors and stunt people with what we are doing in schools as educators every single day, especially in the idea that we want to make people feel like action heroes. Again, I just love the parallels that we were able to draw, and I can't wait for you to listen. I know, again, you're going to get a lot of value out of this conversation. So we will be right back with my conversation with John Davis. Welcome back, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome my next guest onto the show, John Davis, who really has lived the life of an action hero. He's been a professional fight director and stuntman for stage and screen, an artistic director of three regional theme parks, a sword fighting comedian, college professor, motivational speaker, author, and coach, and may not necessarily be your traditional educator, but again, has been a college professor, so I'm excited to talk to John about a lot of things, including, of course, education. But John, welcome to the show. And if there's anything I missed about who you are, where you are, and what you do, please fill us in.
No, that was absolutely perfect, what you said. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. And I have a lot to talk with about connecting with students, especially, because that's one of my specialties as well.
Well, let's start right there then. I mean, you know, you've been a college professor, but I know we've just met, but I know about you that you have lived sort of this life of serving others and giving back, whether it's as a college professor or just, you know, teaching and training people to do what they want to do. So what could you tell us there?
Well, one of the things that about teaching and training, I'm a professor of stage combat and movement arts. So that's what I taught at Oberlin College. But the interesting thing that I discovered came more from my stunt work and my fight direction, because when students are going through the process of learning, they're going through a stressful situation because they've got two fronts. They've got the social front where they've got to, you know, work with their peers and not stand out that way. But they also have the academic front where they've got to, you know, learn the material and incorporate it into what they're doing. And so they have this fear response. They're kind of overwhelmed. And so when you're dealing with a student going through fear response, you've got to first look at them from where they are. As a teacher, as an instructor, my job is to work with them empathetically and realize it's their experience, not my own. So when I'm working with a student, I'm looking at them from the perspective of, you know, what is the stress they're going through? What is the limitation that they're putting upon themselves? And usually it's a fear, and it's a fear of failing.
I'm so glad you said that. One of the things, again, we just met, so one of the things you probably don't know about me, but my listeners sure do, is that I really love growth mindset, and I believe in it strongly. And I've even written a dissertation about how to move people through that sort of resistance, like you were mentioning, that fear that they have, that comfort zone, or dare I say, that fixed mindset, to bring them and move them more toward growth and self-improvement. And I know you talk a lot about overcoming adversity. So whether it's some kind of adversity that someone has faced, or whether it's a fear that they have, can you be a little more specific about, you mentioned the word empathetic, having empathy for others. How do you go about doing that? Even as a trainer of other stunt people, or as a classroom teacher or a school administrator, how can we do that better?
Well, as a fight director, my job is to put people into very stressful situations and bring them through very successfully. And so when I have a person on the platform getting ready to do a three-story high fall, my job is to make sure that they are focused on their landing, not on what they're doing. Right. Focus, get the goal set in mind, but they still have to take the present moment action steps to get there. The interesting thing is, when you're dealing with a student who's in a stressful situation like that, you've got to realize it's the fear response. So what I do is when I talk to them about fear itself, and I say, listen, fear is just an emotional reaction to some future event that may or may not happen. With your outcome, your expectation of the outcome will be negative. And it doesn't really exist in your present moment. It's just an emotional reaction to an uncertainty, and a negative reaction to an uncertainty. So, when you're working with actors or stuntmen, the first thing we train them to do when they get into a stressful situation is exhale. when you have an actor on stage and they're suddenly forget all their lines, they are literally trained to exhale, and all their lines rush back into their head. The reason this is because they're going into the natural primal fight or flight response. When they have a fear response, people feel when they get scared, they say, I can't breathe. Well, it's not that they can't breathe. It's that their body is conserving air so they can run further and faster, because it's a primal response. By exhaling and relaxing the muscles, it turns the brain back on and shuts off that response. So the next thing you do, I also was very fortunate in my life. I had a chance to go to the front lines of Iraq and Afghanistan on 6 USO tours. And when I was talking to those soldiers about how they overcame their fear of going into a stressful situation, they said, it's easy for me to overcome it because I have an objective. I have a goal. I have something to focus on. So you get that giant focus. Where students struggle is they sit in their present moment and they look at that future success or that future knowledge as a giant daunting thing that's out there. And the reality of it is that knowledge is not going to magically appear in their mind in the present moment. It is going to be those incremental steps that they take along the process to get there. So I have to, my job is to take my students, my people I'm training, and make them firmly present right here, right now, and make small present moment successes. The tough part is that when they're making those small present moment successes, they're going to sometimes have moments that don't go so well, and they're going to fail, and they're going to start beating themselves up, right? They're going to waste one of those present moments. So by releasing that and saying, listen, instead of beating yourself up, for me personally, when I would mess something up, I'd slap myself on the top of the head, you dummy, you stupid. That's why I'm bald, really, honestly. But the thing is that when you keep them in their present moment and they mess something up, and you can get them to just to say, well, that's silly, make it more of a positive moment. All you're really doing is stacking in their subconscious mind, you're stacking successful moments, because the more your subconscious mind is filled with negative thoughts and negative moments, you're actually having a subconscious mind that is showing you the world is negative and their experience is negative. But if they can stay present and stack successful moments behind them, their subconscious mind kicks in to help them create a positive outcome.
That's so cool. I love so much of what you said. And this is why I really enjoy bringing on people who may or may not be traditional, like classroom teachers as educators, but who have that educator in them. One of the things that you said, a lot of really great things, but one of the things you said really stuck out to me. And essentially what you said was, when you are working with students who are training to be stunt people, let's say they're jumping off of a building or jumping out of a building, you want them to focus on the landing first. And what I love about that is that as educators, we talk about backwards planning for students. If we're lesson planning or unit planning, we want to begin with the end in mind. We want to know what that task is going to be, what that outcome is going to be that we want students to create, and then work backwards from there. And if you're talking about school leaders, we talk about setting expectations and having that clear vision and mission for where we want our schools and our teachers to go. As a matter of fact, again, you might not know this about me, my listeners probably do. I mentioned before my dissertation research, and I'm turning that into a book. I don't know when it's going to be out, later this year or next year. But one of literally the first thing that I tell people to do to help others through that resistance and toward growth is set clear expectations. So the same kind of thing, like that outcome. So if you're a stunt person, the outcome is going to be how you fall, how you land. The outcome for students is what we want them to learn or produce at the end of a lesson or a unit. I guess I was just wondering if we might go back a few minutes to what you said there and speak a little bit more about that. If it's a stunt person, or even, you know, you've worked with students in a traditional classroom setting at the higher ed level, how do we do that? How do we get them to focus on that end product so that we can work backwards and work up to it from there?
Well, it's an interesting question because of the fact that every student's going to be a little different. Everyone approaches their learning process very differently. Some are very visual learners. Some are, you know, off the book kind of learners. For me, because of what I usually teach, I am a very physical teacher because I teach physical things. And so for me, it comes down to doing very physical things. Now, what I do when I'm, say, for instance, I'm teaching a sword fighting class, right? I will teach them very basic skills. But then I have many more skills than they do. So what I do is letting them use their basic skills. I do more advanced skills around them, and it makes them feel as if they're in a really elaborate fight scene. But I'm actually one doing all the technical things. It's just, I give them a glimpse of what they're going to have. And so that's how I do it on the physical side. On the mental side, it's an interesting thing because on the mental side, I have to make them feel like they're action heroes. And so on those present moment successes I give them, I have to give them a bunch of positive reinforcement. Like, oh, that was great. That looked great, you know. My father used to say, and, you know, one oh crap wipes out 1,000 attaboys, right? But you have to give the 1,000 attaboys. The positive reinforcement is something that they'll go towards. The negative reinforcement is something they'll run away from. So you have to be constantly giving positive reinforcement. If you're not giving positive reinforcement, all you're doing is creating more stress and turmoil because now they're getting afraid of the negative reaction.
One of the things that you said there, and maybe this becomes the title of this episode, I think is great. Clearly, you were speaking to your experience as a teacher of stunt people and actors who are learning their, you know, who are honing their chops at that physical fighting and physical acting. You said, make them feel like action heroes. And I think therein lies that connection that we have between your work and my work, because what you said about reinforcement and positive feedback is awesome with teachers, with students. We definitely, I mean, look, the nature of the beast, the harsh reality is in the United States, we still have this accountability system whereby schools, administrators and teachers get rated and assessed. And usually it's according to the standardized assessments that their students take. And it involves teacher observations and evaluations. And certainly therein lies the fact that there has to be some of that negative criticism. I love, though, like you said, when there is much more positive and much more of the reinforcement. So you said, and I'm saying now to my listeners, whether you are an administrator and you are in charge of staff, or you're a teacher and you're a leader in your classroom, make them feel like action heroes. You know, really support your staff, really support your students to draw a lot of attention to the great things that are happening, because we know you're going to have to focus on the negative stuff sometimes, but really pointing out what people are doing well, I think goes such a long way. So I'm going to say, you know, via John and to you, make them feel like action heroes.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's a teacher's job to make them feel like action heroes, because their natural inclination is to fall into being a reaction zero. You know, they're going to stay in that mindset of responding to their stimulus, and you're the one who has to give them the positive stimulus as a teacher. That's really interesting. What I have a process that I use called the 5 F's, and they're my 5 F's of achievement. It's the same stuff that I use when I'm teaching. It's the same stuff I use in my personal life to achieve more. And basically, we've already hit two of them: fearlessly and focus. You know, you set your fears aside and focus on your outcome. The middle one is the core of the five. It's belief in yourself. You know, you have to foster the belief in the student, and the way you do that is to believe in yourself as a teacher first. You've got to have your confidence that you are delivering good material, delivering it well, and that it's going to make a difference in the students' lives. So that's fearlessly focused with faith. And then the next one's the hard one for a student, and it's a hard one for a teacher as well: follow through. You got to actually take an action step. You have to start. You have to do something. So you got fearlessly focused with faith and follow through. The last one is also tough, but it's the one that a simple mind shift will change so much in your life, because the last one is flexibility. You know, you set those goals to achieve that knowledge, and something comes up that seems contrary to what you're trying to achieve. That can your mind can choose to stop, or it can choose to remain flexible and work with it. Bruce Lee used to say, be like water. When something would come up, you would take that obstacle and think of it as just something that had to be addressed to get to your goal, rather than something that's stopping you. And your job as a teacher is to make sure that the obstacles that come up in the student's mind are worked with in a flexible fashion, so that you can get them past those obstacles and onto those goals.
Yeah, I definitely love that notion of being flexible. It's obvious that over the last year plus in the pandemic times, educators and everyone, regardless of really what line of work you're in, have had to remain flexible. And clearly, education has had to look different from how it has before. And I was just having a conversation with another guest on the show about the fact that if you stay focused on the skills that students are supposed to be gaining to be successful, not just this year or next year, but really in the future, then you'll realize how successful people have really been because they've remained flexible through these pandemic times. And I really hope that not just that flexibility, but having the mindset to focus a lot more on student skills, student achievement, like we were saying a minute ago, you know, that I'm gonna try and make a word out of something that's not a word, like having that action hero ability of your students. If you keep that in mind, you'll realize just how successful they are. Whereas if you do tend to focus on the numbers, the statistics, the standardized assessments, it might not look like they're gaining as much ground as they should or accomplishing all the things that they should be. But I really feel like that's so far from the truth, because when at the end of the day, you look at how far we've come in 13, 14 months since the pandemic started and we were forced to work remotely and all the stuff that happened, man, we've learned so much and we've come, I don't want to say we've come out of it because I know we're still dealing with it a lot, but we're coming through it so much more prepared now than we were back then. And I tend to focus on that stuff. Again, you know, I try to remain positive through everything, but I just really like the mention of the flexibility there.
Well, I'd like to mention something else. You know, we've touched the words action hero several times now, right? Teachers are the definition of action hero. And let me just say why. The word action means create momentum to do something. You know, to start a motion, right? The word hero is the interesting word. A hero is an individual who creates an extraordinary result in service of others. And so teachers every day get up, and even during COVID had to adjust their thing, but they did something every day to serve their students, which in turn serves society as a whole. And so every day teachers get up and do something in service of others and create extraordinary results, because those students are going to do extraordinary things in the future. And I'd like to share a quick story about a student that I had one time. I was teaching in a program called Artworks, and it was put on by Young Audiences here in Ohio. And I was teaching stage combat to inner city kids, high school kids. And My job as a fight choreographer is to create the entire story of the fight. Now, fights don't start when the first punch is thrown. Fights start with the emotional intent of getting into an argument and getting into that story. And so I asked my students one day, I said, you know, how do fights start? And this one kid raised his hand, and he was my troublemaking kid in the class. He was the one who was just tough and tough as nails and caused problems with everybody he talked to. And he stood up. And I said, really, how do fights start? He said, I'll show you. He grabbed his buddy and dragged him up to the front of class. And he put him in one spot, and they started to walk past each other. And he just slams his shoulder into the other kid's chest, right? And like, he started with the aggression first. And as an empathetic teacher, my job was to not think about the moment, but think about his history and where he came from. And so at that moment, I said to the kid, let me ask you a simple question. Where you come from, if you're not tough, are you a victim? And the kid paused and a tear came into his eyes. He said, yeah. I said, that must be really hard. He says, it's real hard. I said, well, let me tell you something. You're here with us right now. You can put that down. You are completely safe here. No one's going to make you a victim here. We're going to make you a hero here. And over the course of the next 6 weeks, I had that kid for 6 weeks. Over the course of the next 6 weeks, I watched that kid become an amazing actor. And at the end of those 6 weeks, he decided that was going to be his life choice and his goal. But the thing was, it took an empathetic teacher to see where he was and let him break out of his fears and give him a safe place to do it. And that's what teachers do every day, if they're good ones.
That's great. I'm so glad that you said that about teachers, but of course that you used that example to show it. You know, I think one of the things that example tells me is that not only did you use empathy, but again, you mentioned before too, tapping into individual students' learning styles and really differentiating. You know, you could have asked, and you probably have asked 100 or 1,000 students, how does a fight start? And you're going to get probably 100 or 1,000 different answers. And it was very unique and different for that one student. I mean, clearly, you know, in my experience as a classroom teacher as well, I've had students from all sorts of backgrounds and with all sorts of personal stories, and they come to the classroom and they approach learning on a very individual and personal basis, and it's difficult, but it is very powerful to really find the way that each student really ticks and what's really going to get through to them. I've told this story before about a girl who the year prior to having her as a student, I knew about her that she had a big attendance problem. And when I actually did have her as a student, she showed up to school much more often, but she had a lot of trouble getting the work done. And I just knew that really to get her to do the work was going to require literally physically sitting with her in either a one-on-one or a small group setting to help her through it. And it didn't happen all the time, but when it did, that's when she did her work. And I passed her when none of the other teachers on my team passed the student because they said, well, she can't do the work. I said, she can do the work. She just needs someone sitting with her to do it. Therefore, right. I'm going to give her the bare minimum grade. Like, I know she's not a superstar A student, but she can do the work. And so I just felt really strongly about that. And that's what I see is kind of similar about those stories.
Well, one of the things that you're talking about there is being in the moment with the student. You know, when I do my corporate speeches, one of the things I do is I teach my 5 F's in my corporate speeches. But the big last thing I do in my one corporate speech is the showing how a leader uses the 5 F's. What I do is I choose the most timid person I can find in my audience, and I bring that person to the stage. Now, from an empathetic point of view, I'm thinking, okay, their biggest fear right now is being in front of their peers, which is what students go through every day, being in front of their peers. It's a very social sort of anxiety. So I bring this person on stage. The first thing I do is I say, thanks for coming up. Hey, isn't she a rock star for coming up? And the audience cheers for her. So I start giving her positive reinforcement from her peers. Then I get to the point where I actually want her to do a skill. And so I start talking to her about her and the things that she's done and the experiences that she's had. And I say, have you ever been fishing? And she's, you know, yes or no, whatever she says. And I say, okay, well, today I'm going to show you how to cast a fishing rod. And they're like, okay, because it's not threatening. It's a not threatening situation. Then I pull out a bullwhip and I hand them a bullwhip and I say, you're just fishing. This is just a fishing rod. And then I turn to the audience and I get the audience to make fish faces at her, you know, which gets her laughing on stage. So I'm keeping her in a real positive atmosphere, real positive attitude. And so I'm getting her focused on fishing, not whips, because the mental process of whips is pain, danger, and other things. So we want to make sure that we're staying in that space of something calm, something light, right? So now she's casting the fishing rod and the whip's cracking and it's cracking loud, right? So then I throw in something she has to remain flexible on. I pull out a target and I hold it out in front of her. And I say, I look at her and I say, did you hear it crack? She says, yes. I said, so you already know how to make it crack, giving her positive reinforcement with a head shake. The other thing I do is called a hypnotic wipe and hypnosis, where I go, did you hear it crack? So you already know how to make it crack. This gesture that we all do naturally when someone gives us a compliment, we go, stop, right? In hypnosis, they use that as a wipe. They give them a positive reinforcement, and right behind the wipe, you put in exactly what you want them to learn or know. And so we go, you already know how to make it crack, giving positive reinforcement. Do that multiple times so I get them into that mindset. I said, now all I want you to do is look right here, right? I point where I want them to go, and cast your fishing rod. That's all I want you to do. And then I see another anxiety hit them. So as an empathetic leader, empathetic teacher, my job is to see what the anxiety is. I know what their anxiety is. They're afraid they're going to hit me. So the next thing I say to them is, listen to me. Look me in the eye, because I want that connection. I say, I promise you're not going to hurt me. Now, whether she does or doesn't really matter, because it'll sting, but it won't be a life-ending situation, right? But I don't want her thinking about hurting me. I basically lie to her. You know, I say, I promise you're not going to hurt me. You know, but I can't necessarily promise that. But the idea is, as a teacher, my job is to think about it from her perspective. That's her one fear. If I take that fear out of the situation, what happens next is they crack the whip and they hit the target out of my hand without touching me. Because if you're truly focused and you're out of your fear and out of the anxiety, you're going to perform correctly and you're going to perform very well. But it's the fears and the anxieties that students have that hold them back from peak performances.
That's great, man. I think it has so much to do with that aspect of really getting people out of their comfort zones and understanding that whether it's overcoming adversity or really just taking the next step, and even if, you know, no matter whether it's a big step or a small step, just kind of jumping in and doing it. But I love that you've brought up some of these tips and tricks about, you know, I guess tapping into really the mentality of it all and the, I guess, you know, psychosis of sometimes really just overcoming it and getting in there. So clearly in your line of work as a stuntman, it's a little more dangerous, let's say. But hey, I mean, as educators, we have students' lives under our control as well. And really, if you think about it, their futures are in our hands too. And I think that the more that you can, as an educator, show the student that they hold their futures in their hands, and it's kind of a delicate thing and a dangerous thing sometimes in terms of, you know, what sort of moves they're going to make and what decisions that they want to make as a student and as an academic, there's so many parallels there. So I love that you said all that. I love the five F's and again, that idea of like, make them feel like action heroes. I think so much of what you said really kind of gets me fired up as an educator, and I hope it does to my listeners as well. So I really appreciate your time. And before we go, I was just wondering if there's any other advice that you would give to the teachers and leaders who would listen to this show about how to keep overcoming that adversity and how to keep pushing through in their line of work as educators.
Well, as teachers, a lot of times you get overwhelmed because you're spending too many hours and not getting paid well enough. And the thing is, you have to realize what your purpose is. Your purpose is to be that action hero and create a difference in the world, because that's why you wanted into your career in the first place, is to make a difference and to help people get better. So you guys are already action heroes. As far as those five Fs, I want to give your audience that free gift of the 5F workbook. There's a link that I'll make sure I share. Now, when I say free, I mean free. The word free means I get nothing, which means I don't even get an email address. It's just a link. You go there, you get the book. It's about serving you and not getting something for me in this situation, because I live my life as an action hero and not a reaction zero. So go out there and really make an impact in your students, make an impact in your world. And you do that every day, but celebrate yourself as action heroes, because that's important.
Very well said. Of course, links and the link to that free resource will be in the show notes, and as well as where you can connect with John. Before we go, though, please let us know where those places are. How can they find your website, your social media, and everything, in case anyone wants to reach back out to you?
I am very, very easy to find. If you go to corporateactionhero.com, you're going to find my website. You go on LinkedIn, you're going to search Corporate Action Hero, you're going to find me. You go on Twitter, you're going to find me as JD Action Hero. And on YouTube, I am Corporate Action Hero or John Davis. But if you just put Corporate Action Hero in Google, you're going to find page after page after page of me.
Sounds great. Nice and easy. John, thank you so much. It was great getting to know you. And I love the message that you've shared here, of course, with my listeners, everything from overcoming adversity to, you know, beginning with the end in mind and growth mindset. I love it. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you so much for the messages that you shared. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a real honor to actually be able to be here and talk to the teachers.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.